That's the son of Brother Jamie. He pastors the Bright Light Baptist Church in Iredell County. Part of camp meeting, grew up around here, played in these shavings. Amen. These shavings have a way of sticking to you. And you're going to go home, and in the dead of the winter, you're going to get a pair of pants or a dress or something out, and all of a sudden you're going to see some shavings on the floor. And God's going to remind you where you was at in the summertime. Amen. I appreciate this young man. He's God's man for this hour. You hear him gladly and help him while he preaches. I love you. They'll run the light for you.
I appreciate the opportunity to be able to open God's word and this wonderful place. Everything I've heard and been fed and experienced. And I appreciate my daughter singing. And what I like about it the most is she picked the song out. Now, I listened to it before she was going to sing it up here. But I appreciate her picking out a song that's biblically accurate. And I'm thankful, thankful for all of that. I would be missed if I didn't thank everybody for everything they've done for 2 weeks. Everything, this thing just doesn't happen. I do landscaping. There's people's got to keep them flowers back there alive. Pick up grounds, not counting serving the food. And I ain't trying to snuff brown nose, but that's the best moderators I know. And I'm thankful for Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting. Turn your Bibles to 2 John. 2 John. This is what the Lord has pressed upon my heart. Title of the message this morning is Truth, Love, and Lies. Don't know if I'll get to the lies part, but you know what the Bible says. We'll read all 13 verses and make a few comments and step out of the way. 2 John, chapter 1, the only chapter in 2 John, verse 1. The Bible says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I find of thy children walking in truth." No greater blessing. "As we have received a commandment from the Father, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." We'll stop there. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray you give us strength, power, and unction we so desperately need. Father, I pray you guard our mind and our mouth, that we'd rightly divide your truth. Lord, I pray this would be a blessing and a help and a strength. Lord, we need you now. We thank you for who you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Many writers have called this epistle God's post-it note. And I remind you, although it is brief and although it is small, it is very beneficial. It is very significant. I can assure you there's big counsel, there's large advice in this small epistle. This epistle emphasizes love for the saint. It emphasizes loyalty to the Savior. It emphasizes learning the Scriptures. He wants us to occupy ourselves in truth and love. He wants us to oppose false teaching. He wants us to overstay in the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that y'all are all looking at me. And I've been studying 2 John. I've been preaching 2 John in the church. And I'm going ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I have figured out who the elect lady is. She's the elect lady. That's all Scripture gives on her. That's all Scripture tells on her. We don't have her name. We understand John's the elder. John's older in age. John's up and getting closer to his coming to Christ. But he wants us to know. He wants us to see. And he writes this epistle to this elect lady and her family. I read some say it symbolizes the church. Well, I'm not a children of the church. I'm not opposed to the church. I'm a child of God, not the church. This is the elect lady. This is all we know. This is John writing to this elect lady. But just because he's writing to her and her family, it made the canon of Scripture. It's in my Bible and yours. It can help you and it can help me and it can help us all. This letter is unique in that it's who it's written to. This letter is different. But I will remind you that this can encourage our families to love and to truth. First thing I want to emphasize this morning is truth and love and its priority. Notice the text. Now, you know the backdrop. I'm going to give just a little bit just for the sake of time. This implication of this epistle, John is writing to this elect lady. Most writers and most say and imply that she probably was so hospitable. Now, remember back in those days, they didn't have a nice air-conditioned building. They didn't have a nice big church where we can all gather together. They had church from home to home. Preachers would come from house to house, and the false teachers would absolutely love that because they would pose as one of their preachers. And we have the implication that this elect lady was probably so nice in her truth and so nice in her love that she probably let one of these false teachers in her home. That's what most writers say about this. John is writing, and notice where he begins first. I want to remind you, he didn't come out and blast her for maybe being too hospitable. He didn't blast her for falling into and not discerning who maybe a deceiver would be. He first came out and he emphasized from the gate that he loved her and that he loved her in truth. And it's truth and love and its priority that will make a difference in this day. Both words are mentioned, truth and love, 5 times in 13 verses. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to get this. Amen. Real love this morning, real love operates in the sphere of truth. The truth is the foundation. It's the foundation of our faith. It's the basis of our love. You can't separate truth. You can't separate love. They go hand in hand. So many are sacrificing truth for love. And then some sacrifice love for truth. John writes this so that we can have a balance. It's priority. I'll Mind you, in the text, truth implies the execution of God and His purposes through Christ. That's what that words mean. I got it highlighted in my notes. That gets kind of too high for me. I'm just a small country boy. I got to highlight the gospel. That's what He's talking about. God's execution purposes through His Son, Jesus Christ. I remind you today, truth is priority. Truth is primary. Truth is pointed. Truth is practical. Everything I know about Him, I found out through truth. Everything you know about Him, you found out through truth. Truth has told me I'm a sinner. But oh, hallelujah, truth told me I had a Savior. Truth told me I had a future. Truth told me I had glory awaiting. It's truth this morning that'll set you free. It's truth this morning that'll help your life. It's truth this morning that'll help your family. Truth and love's priority. John's gospel, right before he tells them of his death and resurrection in chapter 16, he tells them, don't worry. The Spirit's going to come. But notice what he called the Spirit. The Spirit of truth. He ain't gonna speak of Him. He's going to exalt me. Jesus Christ Himself in the priestly prayer in John 17. He said, I'm not praying for you to take the disciples out of the world. But what I am praying is that you would sanctify them through thy truth. If this thing's going to make it 60 more years or until Christ comes, we're going to have the priority of truth and love. That's what's made this thing special. That's what makes this thing great. It's truth and love as priority in this meeting. Not only that, John is exhorting this family. We understand that the church is the ground and pillar for truth. But I know it ought to saturate our homes as well. I was a preacher's kid. Have been all my life. He never did. Never did. He made truth priority, and I thank Him. But He always did it in love. That's important. And I hope you catch that. And I hope you get that. Truth and love's priority. But John goes a little further in truth and love's possession. Look at verse 2. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. For the truth's sake literally means a defense of the truth. But now hang on. Spurgeon said, and I believe, truth is like a lion. A lion don't need to be defended. It just needs to be let out. But we must stand on truth for the truth's sake. But the truth dwells in us. That means to abide, to remain in us. Truth this morning is in you if you're saved, in me and we're saved. Hallelujah for truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's Him abiding in you. It's Him abiding in me. It's truth that draws us together. Thank God for truth and its possession. We must be reminded that truth is in us. It's a part of us. And we need to abide in it. The world will not probably ever read the Bible. But you can rest assured, honey, they'll read you. not only, this is my favorite part, not only do we see truth's priority and truth and love's possession, but truth and love's permanence. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall, the word of certainty, and shall be with us forever. Hallelujah. Amen. That we have the truth. He's already told us that we can love it in truth and for the truth's sake, and the truth dwells in us, and thank God it's going to dwell in us forever and ever and ever and ever. I want to tell you, this thing may fold, the earth may fold, and the heaven may fold, but His word's going to last forever. Truth's going to march on. Truth's always right, and hallelujah, truth's going to win. Thank God this morning, truth in love will win out. No matter what hell may do, truth in love is permanent. It will work. You remember, Isaiah would tell us, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And thank the Lord, John's still not done. Amen. Then he gives us truth and love partners. Look at the text in verse 3. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace. Notice who it's from. From God the Father. From the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of the Father. In is how they give it. Entertainment. They give grace, peace, and mercy through in truth and love. That's how the partners are cooperating. That's how they come to bow. It's from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll remind you this morning that grace, peace, and mercy is what Satan has to. That's what Satan's up against when he comes to attack the believer. He may win some battles, but he'll never win the war. He'll never win the war because truth and love will win. Truth and love will prevail. Truth and love's partners will follow me all the days of my life. Grace and mercy and peace. Grace is, you know, the limitless resources of God's loving kindness. It is unmerited, unbound favor. And that'll give us power to press on in truth and love. I like this definition the best. Peace is simply means the war's over. Yes, sir. Say, preacher, I don't know about that. You don't know how I'm feeling. I want to tell you something. This thing's already been settled. I've read the last chapter. I'm believing in truth and love. This thing's already been fixed. It's already been finished. It's completed based upon the finished work of Calvary and Jesus Christ our Lord. It's settled. It's settled. The devil knows he's a defeated foe. Truth and love can occupy our hearts and lives also with grace, mercy, and peace. Hallelujah to be a child of God. Mercy is God only allowing Satan go so far. And then at that, he gives us an escape route. And I want to remind you, all of heaven is backing that. All of heaven is assuring this of that. Because he said it came from God the Father, and it came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he kind of hits a sly note to hit the false teaching, the Son of the Father. What in the world do you say that for? Because every false theology will hinge on the deity or the humanity of Christ. And John hammers them both when he tells them the Son, there's his humanity, of the Father, there's his deity. He just wanted to let false theology know that he was the last eyewitness and the last apostle, and that he had seen him, he had touched him, he had felt him, he had handled him. And he wanted to encourage this family to continue on in truth and love. Amen. He gives us truth and love practiced. I don't have time to deal with all that, but walk mentioned three times. I'll just hurry. But the word for walk means to regulate one's life. John knows that he has more days behind him than he does in front of him. And his final push and one of his final pleas is he's wanting the church, he's wanting the families to know that we must occupy, we must walk and practice truth and love. Thank God they did, or you wouldn't be here. I do remember reading Paul's dying in his last letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And he says it in different words, I understand, but do you remember what he told Timothy? Basically the same thing John's telling us, to walk in truth and walk in love. It'll work until he calls us home. Truth and love, practice. He goes on to give us the commandments, or introduces the commandments. It's mentioned four times in the text. That's just to associate our obedience. You see, they all three go together. Amen. And if you're honest with yourself tonight, there's often times where one lacks a little than the other. Oh, I've got the truth pegged, but the love, I just ain't. This was not a suggestion or recommendation. This was a command that we should love one another, that we should walk in truth. But I read this illustration, and I liked it, and I'll close with it. Yeah. Truth, love, and obedience is what John's trying to come across in the text. It's like a three-legged stool. You take one leg away, she won't stand. Or the two youngins playing the piano, singing. I've got two more back there. There's kids all across this place. Deserve for us to stand, practice truth and love. Because if it don't, you can rest assured it'll be the three-legged stool and it won't stand. I love you this morning. I appreciate you listening. That's the message.